Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. On this episode of the Milan Weekly Podcast, it's a San Siro shame right now. Tonight, we are in full meltdown. Italy's humiliation at the San Siro will not be tolerated. This is just too much an embarrassment. And me and Steve tonight, filling in for Vinny, we are going to be talking all about it. So make sure, if you haven't already, ladies and gentlemen, make sure you subscribe to the channel, hit the notification bell so you're up to date with all the times we're going live. Smash the like button. Please leave a comment. Follow us on all our audio platforms if that's how you prefer to intake us. But we are a visual experience, ladies and gentlemen. It's Fabio. It's Stevie P. Tonight, this is an embarrassment and it will not be tolerated. Steve, are you ready?
Let's go.
What up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Milan Weekly Podcast channel. I'm Fabio. That's Stevie. We are the Milan Weekly Podcast tonight. Steve, how are you doing, bro? Let's start this up.
I'm fucking gutted.
I know. It was an embarrassment. Again, I just when you think Italy's situation was maybe at least starting to get better, you expected them to at least come out with a little pride and put on a good performance. Are you expecting a 9-0 turnaround? Probably not. That's not realistic. Where have you been if you think that's what it's going to be? Because Norway is not that type of team either. But let's get your immediate reactions on the game, Steve, right? Because this was just an embarrassment after the first 45 minutes. Italy looks like they kind of have a little bit of heart. It's raining. I mean, bad conditions in Milan. But what are you going to do? What are your first thoughts, Steve, right? Like anger, embarrassment, disbelief. What are your thoughts?
So I went into this game, Fabio, to be very honest with you, quite relaxed, quite cool. Didn't really expect a 9-0 win, obviously. What I did expect is for, you know, the FIGC, Gattuso, his staff, to make a decision. And that decision is, one, we're going to go for it 157,000%, and we're going to try to go get as many goals as we can against this Norway team, who, tip my hat, congratulations to Norway. They played Italy very well and played this qualifying to the T, to the letter. Good for them, right? Yeah. So I'm okay with that. The decision had to be made, Fabio, is, like I said, A, we go for it full 157,000%. We go try to get these goals. We try to make a statement and let's go. Are we going to win 9-0? Probably not, but we're going to make a statement. Option two is if you know that you're not going to score 9 goals, at a certain point, let's play the U21 team and let's say we're going to focus all our positive energy, all the momentum that we've had throughout this international qualifying telenovela with Italy and all of its friends in this godforsaken group. And we're going to look to the playoff and we're going to focus on the playoff. But neither or was done. And that's what gets the negative critique from all this, is because they played players that are starters. And yes, they did intelligently, let's give them credit for that, did not play certain players because they were on cards, and that means that we would lose them for possibly one of the playoff games. But at a certain point, and again, I get it, a lot of people, I said it in the chat, yes, but Gattuso's not going to see them till March. I couldn't give a fuck when Gattuso sees them. It's you make a decision. You're the coach, you're Il Mister, you're there, you're paid. God, please make a decision. And this is because of the project itself of Italy is just rotten from the top down and bottom up, Fabio. This is Italy in a nutshell. Rotten from top down, bottom up, in any facet that you see, which we'll talk about more. And I'm going to end it with this. You fucking national team players on Italy, you fucking sit in a, you stand in a line, you hold yourselves arm in arm, and you scream this fucking national anthem of Italy, which is fucking beautiful. Like as if you're going to war. But then you show up on the field and you turn around and no one's there to go to war with you. This is fucking the absolute shit of the shit when I see this. I don't want to see any fucking stupid pictures of people and videos of this national team singing the national anthem till they fucking pull up their shorts, put on their fucking godforsaken t-shirt or shirt, because it's a beautiful shirt, and don't fucking flambé it and qualify for this godforsaken fucking World Cup, because it's 3 years that we're not, it's three consecutive World Cups if we don't make it. And that means that kids like my son, born in 2013, will have never seen Italy in a World Cup till they're fucking 16, 17 years old. That's fucking ludicrous, Fabio. I am so fucking pissed. And I went to this game relaxed, guys. I took my fucking Medicina. I took the blood pressure medicine. I'm fucking spinning everywhere because that's how fucking pissed I am. It's like, fuck, man, we're a four-time World Cup champion. Four-time. And we look like fucking little puppies when we go on the field. Against fucking Norway? Norway?
No heart. They had no heart. No professional. Honestly, like, you know, where's your integrity to go out there to get not only lose, but to get lambasted in front of your fans at home? And honestly, let's get into it, right? And guys, we have pinned the comment out there. What's your reaction to Italy's loss? Go in there, make the poll, pick your answer to what that is, and we're going to get to it later in the show. But let's get into the actual breakdown of the game, right? So, like, our idea is, where did it all go wrong? Because if you watch in the first half, Esposito finally, he gets on the 11th minute. We get a good start. They look okay through the first half. He has another chance. Opio. He almost had another chance with a header. Could have made it 2-0. But after that, that's pretty much it, man. It's once we get to the second half, the game is completely. As soon as we come out from the jump, things are clear that things are about to go wrong. Am I wrong, Steve? I mean, they immediately get a shot on target. Locatelli probably gets one of our two or three few good target chances after that. But these guys just start coming. There's countless chances before they actually score the goal. And it's Nusa, and he just embarrasses Politano there. And the dummy pass gets Lee Lorenzo, 1-1. What are your thoughts when you see this first goal immediately, bro?
Once I see the first goal, actually, once I see the first 5 to 6 minutes of the second half, it's a remote smashing period in my life. Because at that point, if you didn't energize them to get back onto the field for the second half, where you need, let's say, the 9 goals, or you at least want to do some kind of bella figura.
Just fucking win the game. At least win. Not get embarrassed to the point where they come out and they come out like that. Like, we were just messing with you guys. We were just messing with you the first half. Now we're going to show you our real quality. And it was clear that Norway is the better team right now. And it was just one after another. I mean, Nusa, again, like I said, easy. DeMarco and Politano tried to get a couple of chances. But then the wheels fall off within, 2 minutes? Holland scores a double.
Can we fucking talk about that? Can we talk about that?
Of course.
Can we talk about what poked the bear? Can you say it? Can you say it? Because I'm about to lose my shit. Say what poked the bear.
Well, Mancini, it was at 1-1. That's what's being reported. Here's a beautiful picture, right? It just lines it up. Mancini, which I love to say, probably the worst Mancini I've ever heard of. I hate this Mancini. We love Vince Mancini. This one, hate him with a passion. And he decided he wanted to start grabbing Holland's ass. You poke one of the players who's basically, top three players in the world right now, and he's a striker, which we would desperately wish we had on our team, and he fucking destroyed us in 2 minutes, Steve.
My message, and this, fucking send it to your Romanisti friends. Hey, you're in New York? Send it to the fucking Roma in New York fans and make sure that he gets this fucking message, okay? Translated in English, Italian, whatever fucking language he talks about. He's fucking Mancini from Roma. He's not fucking Paolo Maldini. This is like poking Haaland is like poking Jordan or poking LeBron James. At this point in his career, it's almost similar. It's That's all he needs to get back in the game. He had no interest in this game. And you saw in the first half, it was almost not there. But you, Mancini, decide that it's a good thing to start poking this guy and making him wake up and making him feel like he's in this moment of the game and he wants to crush Italy. And you know what? He did. In a span of 2 minutes, if you weren't watching the game and you were getting your notifications, you thought your notifications were busted, but that pretty much was the tail of the tape, right? So my thing is this, is you put on this Azzurri shirt, which is a fucking modern-day miracle that Mancini's on this team, to be quite honest with you. And he's on this team because we're shelled with tons of injuries, you know. The youngsters, Leone at Liverpool hurt, Scalvini injured at Atalanta again.
Yeah.
We're resting some players. It's a modern-day miracle. Just fucking know your role and play your game. Know your role and play your game. That's all I ask. And you are not Paolo Maldini. You are not Nesta. You are nobody.
Gabbia should have been playing.
You're no one. You're no one at that point. Gabbia maybe could have played. I would even put fucking Gatti in there from Juve. And that's saying a lot for me. Right? Yeah. But the thing is, that's what pisses me off, is that these players don't respect the moment. And we talked about the moment on other episodes of this thing. This is another moment, Fabio. It's a very key portion of the fucking game where you need to be razor sharp. Razor sharp. And poking the bear is not a good game plan, especially when it's Haaland who scores at will.
He's not the only one who had a pathetic game, all right? There were another ones. Before Mancini gets undressed by Larsson, terrible play there to give it the fourth goal. Bastoni and DeMarco Bastoni is really probably, I would say, hand in hand with Mancini as the worst two players today. I mean, Bastoni was awful. Now, this is a guy that is a perpetual starter, Steve. You see him, DeMarco, Di Lorenzo looks terrible. I mean, there's so many players that Brian Cristante still in this game, playing, starting games here. These are bad players. These are players that should not be, like, okay, maybe not necessarily the two Inter players, but they are playing in such poor form. This is just overall, what the hell? This is just a performance I would look back and say, this is not just like you guys failed. You guys didn't show up. You played 45 minutes, and then the other 45 minutes, you just went out there to get embarrassed by a team that actually plays with love and passion, and they're clearly the better team. I mean, Steve, why are we talking about other teams, how they qualify, when we're getting embarrassed on the field like this? That's another thing we're going to get to, but the players, where's your professional pride to go out there and put on a performance? It just wasn't there. These guys, the midfield, non-existent, Steve. Our midfield.
And this is an important, and I'm so happy that you brought it up. You know, talking with a bunch of friends, I'm in soccer chats, and it's one of the chats that I love with friends, and we talk real, true soccer. You know, one of my buddies, Vinny Gattuso, he's a Romanista. I think he put it best today. I think Italy has lost its way. Italy is trying to play a game that they're not used to playing. 100 million negative or neutral passes to try to move the ball around. It's a big problem, Fabio, because we're not that type of nation. And this is, you know, we've talked about it on the local soccer show. We talked about it in other episodes, right? When teams try to do things that they just don't have the personnel to do. We're not a team that holds the ball and possesses the ball. We have to be a team that's, you know, whether we like it or not, Italy is Catenaccio to the bone, to the blood. We live and die by defending, and we live and die by tactical errors on the other team's account, right? So that we want to try to hold the ball and make 3,000 negative passes. And what I can add to holding the ball and making 3,000 negative passes is that also, you know, seeing it everywhere today makes me feel better, because when I was watching the game, I thought that when Italy was in possession, it looked like it was in slow motion. The ball just doesn't move fast enough because we don't have the personnel. You talked about it, the Cristante, the Locatellis. Guys, these guys have a role. And their role is to recuperate balls and pass it to someone who actually can make the ball move. Once you take out Tonali, you know, and Barella has to do 100 times more of the work and can't because it's just too much in that midfield for him because he's playing with two logs, this is when Italy suffers. You know, we had guys like Verratti, Jorginho that people, you know, they shat on. But Verratti and Jorginho made the ball move, controlled the tempo of the games. You know, this is what Italy's missing now. And when you're missing that, you cannot play this possession game. You have to be able to absorb pressure and you have to be able to hit on the counter, guys. This is what Italy does. We've won 4 World Cups doing that. Whether we like it or not, we won 4 World Cups doing what we do best, not trying to be like Pep Guardiola and Man City. Because unfortunately, that just doesn't work.
Everybody seems to be echoing the same thing. We're better when we play tight games and win 1-0, 2-0. We are not this tiki-taka, pass the ball around. And look at the players we have. Locatelli starting, Fratesi starting, you know, Politano, Barella. That's the midfield here. And the bench wasn't much, you know, again, there's Ricci, okay. But, you know, Ricci, how much is he going to do? Cristante got into the game, you know. No Tonali, is it really, you know, we have nobody else to really hold up. Who's the creative player in that midfield besides Barella? And again, Politano, he didn't look great. He got kind of skinned on that first goal. And then Fratese, he's a bench rider, man. He's not a starter. And we're expecting him to be a starter for the national team in a game that matters. I don't know. This doesn't look good. And then the forwards, Steve, Retegi. And let's talk to forward, because maybe there'll be one little good thing to say here.
Look, the forwards, to be honest, Joe, I'm very impressed. Again, for me, with the national team, whether we like it or not, and I'm not embarrassed to say it, for me, I remove all club connections. I think the world of this guy, Esposito. I think he's the big body striker that Italy needs, and he's going to just continue to learn, and he's going to continue to become better and better. I think he's the only bright spot of this game. And it's not because of the goal. It's the other chance that he missed. He's getting chances, right? What's scary is that Retegi in the other games, yeah, he was able to come off the bench and get on the score sheet, but he kind of disappeared in the big moments. And that I'm scared of, because no offense, again, to anybody who listens to us there, you know, in the league that he plays with, right? In the league that he plays at, you know, constantly now, leaving Atalanta to go get the bag, I think he's going to be deprived of those pressure moments where we would need someone to understand that, yes, we need him to come into the clutch at a specific time. This is what's scary about Retegi. Not that I don't like him as a player. I think he's awkward as a striker, but he can score goals, right? So I'm okay with the striking aspect of it, but they have to be firing on all cylinders. And it's not one single thing, though, Fabio. It's like today, that's all I've been listening about, you know, and I've been listening, oh, it's the defense. Oh, it's the midfield. Oh, it's the strikers. Oh, it's the coach. Oh, it's FIGC. Guys, let's stop this talk, guys. It's the whole thing, guys. It's from grassroots level to the top. Italy is in shambolic form in terms of developing talent, guys. And people are running away from Italy now. They're running away. And it's scary. And we are crazy if we think that with this president of FIGC in place and his dinosaur friends, that this is going to change. because Fabio, you had one of the greatest footballers to ever lace on a pair of shoes, and who did this with one knee in the times. And that's Baggio, to come out and try to get involved, which he doesn't very rarely in the spotlight with stuff like this. Write like something like a 1,800-page essay on what the problem is. And still you don't listen to that. Now, it doesn't always translate to he's absolutely right or absolutely wrong. But if he took the time to write 1,800 pages, there's some of the stuff in there might be right. And I think if Italy doesn't qualify for this World Cup, it has to be a real summit. A summit like Germany style, like Hockey Canada style. Like, it has to be stripped down and rebuilt.
Flushed out completely. Yes, absolutely. So let me just, all right. So we kind of touched on it. Tactically, what are your thoughts on that? I mean, clearly they were outplayed tactically as well.
Look, I don't even think it's tactically, guys. I just think that they gave up. And that's the thing that hurts the most in the second half. Because first half, look, they lined up in a 4-4-2. That's a traditional Italian formation that, you know, that anybody who's watched fucking soccer in the Sunday mornings with the real trombette would see almost every team line up. And I think it was smart in terms of lining them up that way. The problem is that we never line up in a consistent formation for a series of games. So I don't know what's happening, Gattuso and his tactics. What does he want to play? I don't know enough about what Gattuso wants to do, because we had to hire someone fast to try to cheerlead these guys into the World Cup. That's what fucking FIGC gambled with. I don't blame Gattuso. I commend him for stepping up, because no one in their fucking right mind would have took this job. The pressure is immense and the talent pool is limited, and you will be crucified if you do not make this World Cup. Look at Ventura. Ventura forever will be crucified. He made his dumb mistakes. He's calling this a fucking epiphany for him if they don't make it, right? Because it's something that takes off the stupidity from what he did. You know, not playing Insigne, not playing fucking De Rossi. Absolutely ludicrous on his part. You can, a true soccer, a soccer scholar will say, no, you live and die with those fucking mistakes. That's your situation. Now, Gattuso's situation, Fabio, the problem is that no one wanted this job. Guys, the guy who had to take this job is this. I'm going to show it. I'm not even shy. I'm very happy, guys. This is competition T-shirt, guys. Do you see this? You see who this is? It's fucking Carletto. Carletto had to be the fucking coach of the Italy national team, right? But he's a fucking smart man. He's like, I'm not going to go to this fucking fire hose of a shit. He's always arguing with the refs. He's always arguing with FIGC. This is Ramekin's T-shirt. It's not even a vintage pitch T-shirt. I just love this guy so much, I bought his fucking T-shirt. Because he's a player's coach and has tactics and played and has experience. We needed experience here to guide us through this.
Yeah, of course.
And I'm not saying everything is gone. But the next time we won the World Cup, guys, I'm telling you, ask Vinny G, ask everybody. The last time Italy won the World Cup, guys, I said it. I think it was in 1998 when I graduated. And we lost in 1998 in the semifinals to France. I said, guys, the next time we win the World Cup will be when Marcello Lippi coaches the team. The fucking 2006 came around. We're winning that fucking World Cup. I almost died of a heart attack against fucking Australia and Ukraine. Let me tell you that much. But yeah, we won the World Cup. But I'm telling you guys, if fucking Italy doesn't shape up and hires this guy when the timing is right, that's the next time that Italy will win a World Cup.
Yeah, I don't know when that's going to be. But, Steve, I want to ask you about this particular game before we move on, right? And we're going to ask the chat here. Guys, who's Italy's worst player in this game? Tell us in the chat. So, Steve, I want to ask you, who, obviously, come on, there's three or four options. There's some bad performances tonight. But who would you say failed miserably, worst of anything, anybody?
Fabio, I don't want to be one of those guys who just continues to harp on negativity. But for me, it's Mancini in all facets of the game. It's, you know, it's not understanding the moment of who he's actually poking, not being able to defend. And, you know, we said Bastoni had a terrible game. Look, I think Baresi would have had a terrible game playing next to Mancini, to be honest, Joe.
Yeah, he woke up to sleep and died. Gio saying he thinks it's Gigio. I think he's just hating me. He's a hater. He don't like Gigio. He left two goals from his teammate go by him, man. And Presidente said we lost in the quarterfinal. Look at ChatGPT Presidente now, too. We're getting fact-checked. All right. So I think worst player, I'm going to go Barella. I thought he – excuse me, not Barella. Bastoni. Bastoni had a really bad game tonight, too. I think just the pair. Defensively, que schifo. I never want to see this one again. But let's go back to just the thought process of what you had, Steve. Because you mentioned, look, you could have approached this game in a different way. Almost like a friendly, because you knew 9-0. Come on, what's the realistic? But I guess people are going to counter that question in regards to, oh, as long as the game is on the line, you have to go with your best players and all that. But do you actually have to? Can you be a little realistic? The fact that, look, the more important games are going to come in March. What are we going to really get out of going insane against this game? I would just say you want to attempt to win, but what are your thoughts? Did you think of it as like a glorified friendly, or this was just utter failure?
Look, it had to be. There's gamesmanship about this, right? Mourinho's the king of gamesmanship, right? I can put my hand on fire that if Mourinho was coaching this Italy team, or let's say Mourinho coaching a Portuguese team in the same situation as this, he would have joked about this game from the moment we finished our last game against Macedonia up until the end of this game. It would have been totally on him. It would have been totally in his control in terms of what is the plot. The plot is Italy will not score 9 goals. That means I'm going to try for 45 minutes, and then after, in the second half, I'm going to make people that don't usually play. I'll make 5 fucking changes at halftime. If Gattuso understands how to navigate that, and, you know, instead of sometimes maybe shit, sometimes maybe good.
This is exactly what this game was.
That's what he needed. But he needed that, Fabio. He needed sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit. He needed that. And at 1-0, he tells his guys, this game is over. Yeah, time to be, not time to be shit, but I'm going to take out Bastoni. I'm going to take out this. I'm going to take out that. I'm going to make 5 changes, guys, just to make a statement that I fold. I don't want to lose. I don't want to go all in. I want to fold. At 5-0, the goddamn fucking Gazzetta dello Sport writers and everybody else would have said, I understand what he's trying to do. He's changing the plot of the game. They were going to ask, the first question is going to be, why did you make 5 changes? His answer is very simple. I was never going to score 9 goals. I wanted to make the other ones play. And it's done. We control the narrative of what happened in this game, regardless whether he played bad or good.
Does that seem like throwing the white flag, like surrendering?
100%. But if you've played it the way you're supposed to play it.
Because it would have been 1-0, and now you make a bunch of changes, and it would have been okay. Could have been 2, but since you didn't make that chance and there was nothing else really of value in the first half, you say, all right, 1-0, I bow out. I'm going to fold my car. You're probably going to come back, but at least let me give guys a chance. I see your point in saying that.
So I'll give you something else. Let's say, hypothetically speaking, he goes in at the half leading 4-0.
He
went for it, right? So he wins no matter what. He just had to be able to control the narrative.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think if it was a more of a score like that, more of a like, hey, we came out so strong, let's keep it going because maybe we can turn the 9 around. But only one, it's kind of like you fold your hand there. Look, You know, do you really want to lose all your money? Because that's what it felt like. It felt like we lost all our money. All the good work he attempted to do for just a few games in charge has completely gone down the toilet now. And we hope that this at least gets past this negativity to the Inter players, not Gabbio or Ricci, please. But, like, to me, I see your point. Maybe that tack could have led to a different outcome in regards of 4-1 and this embarrassment. Like, you know, again, just their players just embarrassed, individually embarrassing our defenders. That is just no good. But, like, all right, so we kind of talked about Gattuso. Would you have rested anybody from the jump, or you thought, like, the first half is exactly what you expected? Do you think any of them were tired? Do we have any excuses baked into the goods here?
I don't think it's excuses. I think it's just we needed to understand, and maybe we were just too cocky for trying to believe that we would be possibly scoring 9 goals in this game to qualify. Because if we realistically took a step back and maybe did some research or asked ChatGPT when's the last time Italy scored 9 goals, I would honestly probably think never. That it would probably be never, right? So once that's out of the way, Fabio, then really it's that's what I'm most frustrated about, is that no one higher than Gattuso or even Gattuso understood this narrative and how they had to play this out, so that even if they would have lost the way they lost, it would have been a, you know what, we're looking to the playoffs already. We're already looking at who we're going to play. Let's go and let's make people who usually don't play. And this is the game, and that's what it is. And I get it. I understand. At home, San Siro, which, by the way, I don't remember if it's a point or not, but FIGC, let's fucking stop playing at San Siro, because it seems every time we're always fucking losing. So let's wait for it to be torn down, rebuilt, and then we'll fucking start again. But now, if you haven't noticed, let's fucking stop playing at San Siro. For some reason, it knows it's getting torn down, so it's taking the Italian national team down with it. Let's play in the fucking Stadio Olimpico in Rome, the mecca center of the earth, and let the teams tremble. You understand? If they have to.
Hey, you had a good point that you wrote, and I just want to touch about it, because it's like a mentality thing with this team right now. Right, they act like they're a big team, but they don't play like it. So, like, elaborate on that idea.
Look, it's the pedigree of Italy, right? The Azzurri blue, the 4 stars. Guys, whether you like it or not, you do walk around with a chip on your shoulder. We've always been a target. Italy's always been a target. The English hate us. The Germans hate us. The Brazilians hate us. The Argentinians hate us. Everybody hates Italy. Because we play soccer the way soccer is meant to play. Tactically, chess match, organized, to the razor millimeter. This is what soccer is made to be. It's made to be a chess match. It's not ticky-tacky bullshit. It's not fucking rainbow flicks. It's not. Unfortunately, it's not. Street ball is, and I agree with that. And power to the Brazilians with the street ball and their flair that they bring to the game, right? But that's Brazil that brings that flair, not Italy. Not Italy.
No, we're not bringing any flair right now. So let's kind of talk. And Ramirez is saying, let's be realistic. Do we think they're going to make the World Cup? Unfortunately, my heart and brain says no. Kind of lead us here into Italy's possible March opponents, right? So the first pot, which I believe they're going to be doing a draw this coming Thursday, will be either Sweden, North Macedonia, Romania, Northern Ireland, or Wales, depending on the outcome, right? I mean, Sweden's knocked us out before. North Macedonia's knocked us out before. And that's just a semifinal. That's part one. It's part two after, which could be either the Czech Republic, maybe Hungary, Slovakia, or Scotland. You know, again, there's a couple of teams in there. If they come, they're going to beat us. They're going to knock us out. This Italy needs to come with a force and determination. But who, like, I think we've talked about this before, because Sweden knocked us out in 2018, North Macedonia in 2022. Just a little revenge there, right? I don't know if we want to tempt fate one more time, but when you see these lists, what does it make you think, Steve? Do you think we can beat these people? Does it make you worried that we're looking at a third-string one?
It makes me angry that we're in this situation, but realistically, that we put ourselves in this situation. For me, it's bring on whoever you want to bring on. For me, it's the Italy that I believe in and the Italy that I grew up watching makes this World Cup and fixes itself. It fixes itself, maybe for the good, maybe for the bad, but it fixes itself and makes the World Cup.
Lynch, thank you so much for the super sticker, buddy. Appreciate it. Super chats are open, guys. Anything helps to support the channel, we can read your question or your comment if you.
What's this super sticker now? Guys, start shooting super stickers. Let's go, Lynch. Good job, Lynch.
Thank you, Lynch. We appreciate it, man. All right. So, yeah, World Cup needs the Italians. 100%. 100%. It would be a shame for a third year in a row. Ridiculous. Third tournament in a row. Excuse me. But me, I'm just going to lean into this. I don't give a fuck who we get. It really doesn't matter. But if Dracula comes on in the 90th minute and scores for Romania, all right, it will be we are cursed beyond belief. Like, we need to at least make it through this round. Like, it's not enough. But for the love of God, don't get eliminated in the first game. Don't do that.
No. Hold on. It's full throttle. The first gets taken care of. The second gets taken care of. We make the World Cup. It's the whole thing. We're not gonna dissect this first. It's whoever the fuck you want.
It's more of an embarrassment if you don't even get to the final. All right. I need a little bit of hope. All right. If you're gonna ruin all of 2026. Now I'm really pissed off. I mean, again, to miss a third one, it's becoming a little numbing, though, Steve. It, like, honestly, it's just like, oh, disappointment? Nah, what else is fucking new? Italy has done this now two tournaments in a row. Back to only rooting for USA and Canada because we cannot support the Italian team, the league that we watch, the players that we love, our heritage. We can't support it because they don't know what the fuck they're doing. So, in the end, You think they make it through from what you've seen? Or are you starting to have to doubt? Are you going Vinny on me? Are you going half glass full? Because I'm being negative. It's half empty at this point.
No, for me, it's been full since the beginning, since we lost against Norway and made some changes. I think this team is a team that is talented. I think they just need to resolve some maybe psychological mishaps. And again, they said it. I think it was Donnarumma that said it. We've gone through this before, the playoff route. We know what to expect. We're not underestimating anybody. That has not been said by an Italian in a very, very long time. So I commend Gigio for that. And you can't. In today's game, you cannot underestimate anybody. And I think with a coach like Gattuso, what he does do well is rally the troops to go to war. And these two playoff games are, whether we like it or not, harsh or not harsh, they are war for Italian calcio.
I mean, there's a whole nother conversation about even if they make it through, is Gattuso the right guy you want to go into the World Cup with? And that's a whole nother conversation. But let's talk about what Gattuso said this week that's really stirred up the pot, Steve. Right now, whether you agree with him, because this is an expanded year, now we've gone from 32 to 48. Pretty soon it's going to be 64 and 100. We're just going to grab every country. Everyone's just going to start playing. But even with this expanded amount of teams, we're still struggling to make it through, despite winning, six out of the eight games, you know, only losing two. And then he references or some of the South American teams, which is just one conference of 9 or 10 teams that six of them get automatic bids, which 6 out of 10, that's more than 50%. That's a bit harsh. With a 17 being able to get in with a playoff with one of the Oceania teams or whatever it is. So being that again, we're in this playoff. Now a second time going. We've struggled making World Cups. Do you think Gattuso slightly has a point about this FIFA qualification format?
Look, for me, I said it in the year that we didn't make it right after the Euro. For me, I think the winner of the Euro should be in the World Cup. I think if you win one of the cups, you should be in it. I think that should be a way to get into the World Cup because you want the best, right? So in whatever calendar year you are after that, that was my pain point with the qualification portion of the World Cup. To be honest, Joe, do I agree? Look, unfortunately, it's the circumstances that we're in. They're not our rules. They're the rules for everybody. They're not just the rules for Italy. I think it's bad timing, again, to talk about this. It's bad timing to talk about other conferences when you can't get into this World Cup, right?
I agree.
Do I agree the way it's done? No, it just gives fuels to, like, you know, Emilio Martinez, you know. Yes, he's a World Cup winning goaler. He also played with the best player in the fucking world and probably one of the best teams to be assembled by Argentina. And now he saves one breakaway and he's able to talk shit about everybody, right? But it's not their problem. It's not Brazil's problem. It's not Argentina's problem. They're part of that federation that, you know, FIFA has decided, or, you know, however they decide this is done, that's how they qualify. And Europe is done this way. The amount of teams, again, it's not me to decide whether it is or it isn't. For me, I've always believed, and I, no disrespect to any of the other nations, but in the World Cup, I want to see the best teams. And if you're going with the best teams and you rank these teams in, you know, there's a FIFA ranking, then some of them should be able to get in just because of their FIFA ranking. Then why do we play all these games then? Why are you playing? For me, the problem with this and the way they qualify is that it's a money hunt, right? They want more qualification games so that there's more money brought in. There's more money. There's more money. There's more money. So I don't know if do I agree or disagree? Right now, those are the rules. So I want to qualify through the rules that are present right now. If they want to change them, that's up to them to change them. I just think that the timing of him bringing this up was terribly bad.
So they have the FIFA rankings. We're ninth. They have Italy in ninth. That seems a little strange, in all honesty.
But you understand, everything that FIFA does is strange. You have these rankings for what reason? To start, just to put teams in a pot? If you're doing the World Cup, and the World Cup means that it's the best teams, if you have a FIFA ranking, I don't know, start with the top 10, get an automatic. So then the FIFA ranking means something. You got to win your friendlies. You got to win the Nations League stuff. You're playing for something. It seems like we're just creating more and more games that have less and less meaning. And then you put them through this qualifying thing where they're already playing tons of club games. Oh, and by the way, FIFA decided to make their own club World Cup. And then we ask ourselves why Bastoni and why, you know, Barella can't move and why Donnarumma, like, they've played all summer. And that's not an excuse just for Italy. I think that's an excuse for all the nations.
Yeah, Lynch agreeing with you too. Like, why do we have these rankings? It's basically bullshit. It's for nothing because it doesn't mean anything. You don't get anything special out of being ranked ninth.
So I look at this.
And you miss another World Cup. Big whoop.
Yeah, I look at this like example. It's one of the tournaments, and I say, for me, and again, this is my personal opinion, after the World Cup, I think is the second best tournament. The second best tournament, and it's completely apples to oranges of the World Cup because it's kids playing sometimes their last basketball game. But for me, March Madness, at 64 teams, is the second best tournament that I watch besides the World Cup and the Euros in terms of soccer. And I think the way they do it in terms of their seeding, they have a ranking for a reason. The teams that are ranked, there's a selection committee to get the 64 teams in. I don't think that that's the best way for FIFA to do it. It would be like completely overhauling things. But I think at a certain point, the top 10, and again, I'm saying top 10, not because Italy's number 9. It could be number 11. But I think the top 10, you want to see them in the World Cup. So I think they should be in the World Cup.
You know what? I want to look at this FIFA rankings at the moment and just have an idea of right now in 2025, what are we looking at in the world ranking? Because I have a feeling most of the teams are in the World Cup. We are the highest one that's in jeopardy of not making it. Right? Yep. Spain is ranked number one. They're in. Argentina, they're in. France, England, Portugal, Netherlands, Brazil, Belgium, and here we are at 9, Italy. Then Germany, also a little in doubt. I'm not sure. Did Germany automatically qualify or they're in the playoff as well?
I don't remember. I don't remember either.
I'm sure somebody will be there. But Croatia made it. Morocco, Colombia, Mexico. I mean, come on, man. How are we 9th and we're still struggling to make it? Germany qualified today. Thank you, Frank. See, I got it. But, man, I think of this. I mean, I want to ask you guys, do you guys in the chat, do you trust FIFA's qualification system? Is it a yes or a hell no? I don't know. To me, it just seems like there's too many people from South America. Yes, I know it's only 10 nations and Europe has, I don't even know how many, 30, whatever it is. But, come on, 60% automatic qualified, that doesn't seem right. But again, you can't even make these mentions where you know there's a playoff coming. Like, you don't deserve to be auto-qualified, not the way you're playing. And even before you showed up, Gattuso, you could just say, this team still hasn't been good enough. So there's no reason for us to be talking about, like, we should be auto-getting in. Say that after the tournament's over and somebody asks you a question, you know, next fall or something. We don't want to hear it right now. But guys, all right, so we had one. I have to pull it up, so give me 1 second. From our Patreon, that they wanted to mention it. Hold on 1 second, Stevie. Let me find it. Sorry, buddy. But, Steve, go ahead.
No, while you're pulling it up, another quick, you know, from the chat, right? Like, the top 10 most valuable FIFA national teams. Have you guys seen this? Like, this is crazy, guys. Like, you know, number one is Italy. I think it's like 5.07 billion. Brazil, 4.9. France, 4.8. Spain, 4.6. Portugal, 4.4. Hey, Italy's two spots better in this top 10. We're like number seven. The value of the squad is $3.9 billion. You know, and our notable players compared to everybody else on this list, that's where you see there's a bit of an issue. You know, where Spain have Pedri, Gavi, Lamine Yamal, Nico Williams. You know, no disrespect, we have Barella, Tonali, Scamacca, and Bastoni. Like, I think that's where we're kind of losing ourselves as well, too, because, you know, we're not producing talent. We're not producing players that are making a huge impact on the world stage. And this is why we find ourselves in this pickle.
So our only our only Patreon questions tonight comes from Ian. He says, since it's International Week, what's your favorite Gattuso moment or memory?
For me, it has to be slapping Lippi.
I honestly, my favorite Gattuso memory is just the fact that he said that I love that video of sometimes it's good, sometimes it may be shit. I mean, I've used this so many times. I love it. Obviously, he was a great player for Milan and was on a lot of key teams and was always a bulldog out there. I mean, again, didn't score many goals, but Gattuso's always been one of my favorite. Like everybody else, they just love the way he played. But I love that video clip. That's one of the best stuff. Actually, I love Gattuso as a coach. And like, I hope he does well because he just gives so much material on the camera that you never know what he's going to say. You never know what he's going to do. Like when we always say we wish somebody would go in there and smack the player or smack him around, you might actually have a guy that's going to do that. So hopefully he smacks them into getting themselves into a position where we can win these two games later in 2026. All right. So everybody out there, please drop your hottest take regarding this Italy-Norway game. And we're going to hopefully check it out, pin it later, respond to it later. Steve, before we kind of keep it rolling, here's a moment. Vintage pitch. Tell everybody where they can pick up some material if they want to buy anything. Let them know the details.
Yeah, guys, passion project, vintagepitch.com, together with a childhood friend. His name is Nick Bagnoli. He's a Juventino, but a great friend. Played soccer when we were younger, guys. Vintagepitch.com, guys, we're making it more than just a t-shirt, guys. We want you to wear the story. They're designed here in Montreal. They're printed here in Montreal. The t-shirts are fantastic, 100% ring-sprung cotton from Mexico. And, guys, it's really... we put ourselves in the designs. We want to make sure that we tell the story and we respect the team or the player, the legend, the moment that we want to describe in the design. Guys, follow us on Instagram at Vintage Pitch. On TikTok, it's at Vintage Pitch App. And guys, check us out, vintagepitch.com. Guys, I'm going to give you the scoop. The Black Friday sale starts as of maybe Thursday, maybe. So check us out, vintagepitch.com, guys. We're doing some great collaborations with local businesses here in Montreal. We're doing some great collaborations with clubs, Milan Club Montreal, Milan Weekly Podcast. Guys, it's Vintage Pitch. We really want to tell the story. We really think the gear needs to be there. The gear needs to be upped for our game. And I think it's Vintage Pitch that you guys need to check out. And Christmas times are coming. We're going to have kids apparel soon. We'll have some hoodies come out later on in the winter so that you guys could keep warm. And guys, whether we like it or not, there will be World Cup gear at vintagepitch.com. That's in the process of being made now, and hopefully I get to make my Italian design that is already ready.
All right, guys, little just club conversation here. This weekend at the Football Factory, come if you're in the greater New York area, the New York City Club, come see us at the Football Factory, 33rd and 5th Avenue, right in front of the Empire State Building. Stevie, you guys are going to have a bit of a party, hangout, watch along. Let's talk about that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. FC Supra is coming to watch the derby with Milan Club Montreal. That's going to be at Cafe Chocharos, ladies and gentlemen. Please, feel free if you're in the Montreal area. If you're a Milan Club Montreal member, fill out that form. Make sure that you reserve your spot. It will be jamming. There will be, you know, higher ups at FC Supra. There will be the president there. Mr. Placentino will be there. He's an Interista, but we'll welcome him with open arms for this for this watch along. And guys, tune in to the local soccer show tomorrow night. 9:15, same time. I will be on with Pat, the Chelsea fan, and Mr. Placentino talking about the watch party. Guys, it's the derby. We got to make it work. We got to make it happen. We got to make Chicharos rock and roll, and we got to, you know, push that red and black. So Chicharos on Sunday, the 23rd, 2 p.m. Be there. Have a nice panino. Have a coffee. Come and join Milan Club Montreal. And there will be door prizes, guys. So, yes, there will also be Vintage Pitch door prizes. So,
very nice merch to get. You guys, go through, go check it out. It's going to be a great time. Just two great clubs. Find whatever local club you're going to be on. Milan Club Boston, Milan Club Chicago, Milan Club Miami, Milan Club Dallas, everywhere across the North American. Of course, Milan Club Montreal, Toronto. Guys, all this, it's a big game. This weekend, we come off the international break. Enough of this. We take these jerseys off. Go back to the red and black. What are your thoughts, Steve? We're going to finish on this. The derby's coming, man. These are our final thoughts here. We're in the extra time. Talk to us, man.
Guys, the Derby, I think I should record this. And again, when I pass in 50 years, put it on my tombstone. The Derby is the Derby. It's another game. It's another season within a season. Lynch is keeping up with the stickers. He's introduced everybody to the stickers. If everybody starts shooting stickers like Lynch, we'll be on fire. Thank you, Lynch. But back to the Derby. It's the game within the game. There's no season. There's nothing like it. It's the Derby della Madonnina. For me, I think it's probably one of the best derbies out there. I think Milan need to make a statement here. And, you know, yes, we're playing away for this edition of the Derby. That's fine. I think Milan needs to be prepared. I think we need to get everybody back at Milanello, make them understand. Yes, we had a little bit of a letdown, but now this is the game within the game. This is Modric's first derby. He's been in El Clasicos. He's been in some useless Spurs derbies versus Arsenal. But that's beside the point. But this is Derby della Madonnina. So the game within the game, it has to be everything. Leave everything out there. Forza Milan.
Game within a game. That reminds me of like what's coming next month, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't already subscribed, this is why you got to subscribe, because next month we're going to be having an unbelievable show. There's game shows coming, so much coming, all this on our Christmas special. It's going to be dropping the week of Christmas, so you have to subscribe so you know Steve, me, Vinny, Gio, Terry, and more. It's going to be an unbelievable show. Guys, Italy, they had their two games. We'll check back in March. But we're back to the red and black next week. And with that, Steve, let's say goodbye. Ovunque e sempre.
Forza Milan.
And Forza
Azzurri. Forza Azzurri.
Peace out, everybody. Good night.